models," rumbled Silver.
"However, let me draw your attention to a flaw. See over there, just beyond the inland sea?"
Marco squinted and gave up.
"No," he said. "The disc builders either had damn good eyesight, or all this was just for show."
He looked around for the robot. It wasn't there.
"We wish to view the disc map more closely," Silver was saying to the empty air.
Something like a flying slab of glass glided around the map from the far side and hovered in front of her. She stepped aboard gingerly. Under her weight, it didn't even wobble.
"I see it," said Marco, "but I don't believe it. How did you do it?"
"Just a knack," said Silver. "I think I'm getting to understand the way things work round here. Coming?"
The glass carpet responded neatly to Silver's spoken directions. It skimmed across the map mere centimetres from the clouds. Marco had a strange urge to reach down and stir some into a cyclone. The map was frighteningly real. If he leaned over and touched it, would a giant hand appear in the disk sky? When the Shan spoke again, he looked down obediently through the glass. There was scarred land down there, burned and broken, and in the centre of it was a neat, round hole. Later, Silver found that raising the platform slightly magnified the scene immediately beneath. There appeared to be no limit to the resolving power. There were people down there, microscopic figures that were almost immobile. Only almost. Every second the scene flickered, and the figures took up slightly different positions. Marco spent an age entranced at the sight of a homunculus cutting wood. Flick. The axe in the air. Flick. Biting into the tree. Flick. Back in the air. And a wedge of raw wood bitten by magic out of the trunk.
"It could be done," he said, half to himself. "All you'd have to do is correlate sensory inputs and keep reprojecting them as a hologram."
"You'd need many inputs."
"Billions. You'd have to plug into the cognitive centre of every living creature."
"Have you noticed the blank patches?"
"Maybe a bird wasn't looking in that direction at the time."
Silver nodded gravely and looked around the big map hall.
"Presumably, the map of the disk also includes its own miniature disk map," she said slowly.
She met Marco's gaze with a quiet smile. Then she ordered the platform to go to the map's hub. Neither doubted that the map hall was at the hub. They looked down at the dome. Silver tried some commands, which appeared to have no effect, so she lowered the platform. Staring down between their feet, they saw earth and metal melt and drift aside. Disk machinery rose and faded away. There was something now, the edge of something. There was a little round disk. At its centre was a grey and white speck, which resolved into two figures. One was big and furry, the other wiry and thin as a twig. Both were staring intently at something between their feet. Flick! The wiry one was looking up now at the miniature gallery that encircled the map of the map. Flick! There was a figure there. Flick! It raised a hand. Flick! "Hi," said Kin. Silver was not expert in human expressions, but by the look of her, the woman had not been sleeping. In fact, she was swaying slightly. "Glad you could make it," she said. "I couldn't get the computers to teleport you. There's a 30% chance the power would fail while you were out of phase. Follow me. There isn't a lot of time left."
"Oi,"
began Marco. Kin shook her head violently. "No, we don't," she said. "Come on." The Kung started to protest again, and Silver gripped him firmly by a couple of arms. Kin was already hurrying down a tunnel leading off the hall. It emerged in a metal cave half as big again as the one they just left. It contained a spacecraft. At least, that was the first impression. It didn't have any motors, apart from strangely large altitude jets in about the right places for altitude jets. The hull seemed to be all cabin, with enough windows to grow grapes. Cuboid robots were still clustered around it. One of them was spraying paint on the landing gear. Two others were busy on a stubby wing. Kin was already aboard. Snarling, Marco bounded up the short ladder and saw her sitting at a horseshoe-shaped instrument console. Wires trailed away from it to boxes bolted haphazardly around the interior of the cabin. In the centre of the floor, a regiment of tiny cubes were engaged in feverish activity around a tangle of wires and metal shapes. One of them butted Marco politely on the foot until he moved. "Silver, shut that door," said Kin. "Hurry, and now pray to any convenient gods." She turned and addressed the air in a tone of voice